Insurgent Radio Network calling. Insurgent Radio Network calling. This is the Insurgent Radio Network, and this is Terrible Tommy. Tom Metzger right here in the bunker.
Nazism has surfaced in Europe, and with it, Nazi video games. These games graphically depict scenes from the Holocaust, and some now fear they may soon be available in the United States. Are these games of hate harmless computer toys, or are they a danger to society? To discuss it, Rabbi Bruce Goldman. Rabbi Goldman here at our studios in Washington of the Center for Creative Jewish Living. And in Los Angeles, the famed Tom Metzger of the White Aryan Resistance. He was found guilty recently by an Oregon jury of inciting the beating death of a black man in Portland. He did not participate in that, was found guilty of inciting it. Tom Metzger is in L.A. Rabbi Goldman is here. What's wrong with a game?
They're hideous. They're coming out of Austria.
What's wrong with it, though? I mean, that's a judgment call. They're hideous. But, I mean, what's wrong with a game?
What's wrong with the game is that it's perpetuating the maliciousness which we thought had been behind us 50 years ago.
Can you tell me what they're like, these games?
Yeah, they're basically concentration camp games.
It's like you roll dice and you move people in there.
Well, very similar. One is a manager or a commandant of a concentration camp, the number of people that he can gas, whether they're Turks or Jews. Turks are part of this. Will enhance his score or the player's score.
These are
games which are being used by very young kids and
being sold where?
They're being sold in the underground. They are traded like baseball cards. One Nazi video game like KZ Manager or Aryan Test will bring about five other games.
How many different types are there?
They're known to be at least 120 and maybe as many as 200. The source of them is not known.
Tom, since you've told us in the past that you don't like gassing and the killing of people, are these games disgusting to you?
No, satire to me is never disgusting. I think we need more and more satire because Jewish comedians use satire against Aryan whites all the time and black people. I think we should have total free speech and all the games or whatever anyone wants to have. I think it's great.
And you don't find them personally revolting even though they're dealing with the death of mass groups of people?
Well, I have not seen the games personally, but I'm saying satire and the mass deaths of human beings goes on in all kinds of games. Kids can watch it every Saturday morning on television in cartoon form. This goes on all the time.
Tom, if you haven't seen them, how do you know it's satire?
Well, a game would appear to be satire to me. That's a form of satire. That's the way I would see it.
Okay. Well,
the gas chambers in Auschwitz were considered a game, too. And it would take a pretty sick mind, a really demented mind. I love satire. I love political satire. I love comedy. When you get out of bed in the morning without a sense of humor, I would hardly suggest that these even remotely suggest satire. Quite to the contrary.
Well, number one, Rabbi, there were no gas chambers at Auschwitz, and I believe the Wiesenthal Center has said that before. So there were no gas chambers at Auschwitz.
Did you ever visit Auschwitz?
No, I haven't. I haven't, but I do know that even Jewish authorities now have admitted there were no gas chambers at Auschwitz.
I've, frankly, I don't know who you're talking to, Tom. I'm just curious about something.
Well, I read the Jewish papers. I
specialize in rites of passage, birth till death. I'm kind of curious as to what you would like your children to see on your epitaph. What would you like to leave to humankind?
That I fought for my race, white Aryan people.
That's off the topic.
That is my religion.
Tom mentioned one thing that I think we'd be interested in your response to. Freedom of speech. Don't I have the right to make a game, any game, and sell the game, any game?
No, you don't.
Don't.
Under what do I believe that we're going to be able to create infringements against this in terms of importing or customs or seizing? No, because it doesn't work. Whether we had free speech or not, it just doesn't work.
Why? Well, under what concept would you ban it?
I would ban it on the basis of the fact that attitudes, information,
First Amendment doesn't
which,
say that.
No, which suggest violence against any individual, any group. Is not a game, is not covered by free speech.
Well, then you would ban soldiers, toys, war games, G.I. Joe,
we
violence,
have just, we
killing,
have just
police,
we have just
cops,
witnessed.
Robbers.
This is the same
we have just
mistake,
witnessed from this studio.
Hold it, Tom.
The most colossal video game in world history called the Gulf War. We showed no blood. Every day we had briefings. Every day people were wondering, where, from 4,400 tanks, how many were left? How many of the National or Republican
What's
Guards were left? And people were evaporated. And we don't seem to understand the connection between what we do and what others do, which creates the same kinds of circumstances.
It's almost like Jewish groups are promoting this type of thing because, number one, they had a press conference, the ADL, in Washington about my television program. And actually, every time they flap their gums and get all excited, we become much more popular. And I'm sure these games will really go through the ceiling now with this nationwide publicity.
Tom, you are opposed to the killing of people, right? I believe in white Aryan supremacy, but you don't believe in killing blacks and Jews, right?
No, I don't. I believe in self-defense and justice. I don't believe in...
What was the self-defense of this Ethiopian student for whom you have a judgment against you for $12.5 million? That's an awful lot of radio and TVs to be repairing in Los Angeles.
Let me tell you something. If Morris Dees of the SPLC did not have a paid, bribed witness by the name of David Mazzella, that case would have never gone to trial.
Okay, but we're also veering a little off the topic. I want to stay on the games, and we'll pause and come back and take some calls. For Tom Metzger of the White Aryan Resistance and Rabbi Bruce Goldman of the Center for Creative Jewish Living, tomorrow night Ken Bode hosts the special on selective prosecution. It's a special. Bruce Goldman of the Center for Creative Jewish Living and Tom Metzger of the White Aryan Resistance. St. Louis, hello.
Hello?
Yes.
Yes, I'd like to ask Mr. Tom Metzger basically two questions. First of all, would he approve of games where blacks or Jews were killing white people and maiming white women and children? And the second question is, on what grounds... Let me finish my questions, please, and then you can answer. My second question is, on what grounds does he feel that he is entitled to claim that his race is superior to others, and what entitles him to more rights than other human beings?
Okay, Tom?
Well, the answer to the first question is, I believe absolutely. Anyone in a free country, as free people, should be able to make any kind of game, any kind of joke, any kind of speech that they want to make.
Okay. And do you believe the white is superior to other?
I think generally that's true. I would hope so. So there's a lot of them in this country that don't seem to be acting like it lately, but I think we could be.
You want to be superior?
I think everyone, individually or collectively, would strive towards superiority in some manner.
Would you take a blood transfusion from a non-white?
Of course, if my life was threatened.
Why? It would make you inferior.
No, it wouldn't, because we don't believe that one or two drops of blood or a pint of another race's blood makes you inferior.
In fact, you might have some other racial blood in you now.
Well, if that's true, they could put me out of business real fast. But it's not true. And we have the 1/16th rule anyhow, that if your great-great-grandfather, grandmother could have been of another race.
Okay. Rabbi, these games are going to come in. How about Tom's point that by promoting them, you're promoting them?
Well, that's what you're saying, is if you call attention to something that you're promoting them.
Well,
by calling attention to them, you are alerting people to the fact that they exist.
Partially
and
true.
They can begin to take remedial measures. What are the remedial measures? In Europe and in this country, and with regard to the cartoons, every Saturday morning, we have to be aware of the fact that it's now necessary to teach children the following things. One, that America is not always right, and that everybody who has an infirmity or a foreign accent is not our enemy.
Now stay with me on the Nazi games.
Well, it's the same thing.
It has to be taught.
When these games come in here, we can't then begin to teach children about these attitudes. We have to begin to teach them right away. It's not just a question of immorality that it's wrong, that these people who are being set up as a form of indoctrination are not our enemy. And the enemy are the people who are producing these games in order to turn people against each other.
But you wouldn't ban them.
You can't ban them. If I wanted to ban them, I couldn't.
Los Angeles, hello.
Irrelevant.
Hello.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yes, I'd like to ask the gentleman in Los Angeles if he believes in God, and if he does believe in God, how can he say that God would permit a family to teach their children hatred and maiming and killing?
Well, we don't know if he believes in God. Do you, Tom?
Not the Jewish God, Jehovah. No, I believe in nature and that, and my race. That is my religion. I don't believe in your Judeo-Christian God. No, that's nonsense.
Are we going to see these games in this country?
Yes.
Soon?
I would suspect that some of them are already beginning to come.
You're not going
to
see them in Macy's.
No, you won't see them in Macy's, and it wouldn't be that Macy's might not want to sell something that could be profit-making, but it would be impropitious for Macy's to do this. It is underground. Some of them are very sophisticatedly made, and kids do what they do with all kinds of software.
I would surely like to thank the Jewish leadership of this country who don't act very sharply for promoting these things, and my television show, which is booming, and every time the
Jews... I don't understand. Why would you thank them? You haven't seen the games. Maybe they'll be bad for you.
And they'll be all over the
maybe
country.
Maybe it'll be terrible satire.
He's saying that anti-Semitism is big business. Anti-Semitism is big business.
Well, I want to tell you something.
Without these kinds of issues.
You go to every comedy shop in the country and listen to the Jewish comedians bash white people.
Will DeMarnis. Those Jewish, they look white to me last time I saw them, Tom. Rabbi Bruce Goldman and Tom Metzger. And we'll be back with John Paxson and Hoops after this.
Todd Shepard is with the National Association for the Advancement of White People. He thinks that the last, most discriminated, least considered, thought about, most abused person in America is the white male. Do I speak for you, Mr. Shepard?
Absolutely.
You're also a funeral director, and you want people to know that you don't use the word nigger. Do I understand that?
Absolutely.
You don't use epithets when you refer to people of color.
Right.
You're a proud professional man. You're a funeral director, I think.
Yes, sir.
And you want what, America to know that there's people like you out there that you're not a racist?
No, I'm not. I'm not a racist. There's a lot of professional people that feel the same way we do. They just don't come out and open and say it.
Right. You're with Kurt D. Lyons, attorney at law. You're from Houston, and you've made yourself a reputation for defending people's free speech. People ought to be able to stand up and say what they believe and not be called racist or be politically correct, as the euphemism is used.
Well, call them whatever you want, but give them the right to have that message put out over the airwaves or whatever ways we do it in America.
Yeah, but what if the message is leads to violence? What if the message suggests that you have to kick a little ass? You know, we have some white supremacists using that phrase.
Kick a little ass is protected speech.
Oh,
absolutely
really?
Protected speech. It's the inciting immediate violence where the Constitution, as interpreted by the Supreme Court, would step in. But other than that, it's a free-for-all, and don't tie somebody's arms down.
Yeah. Tell me how you feel about this, attorney at Law Lyons. You find yourself next to Tom Metzger, who was director of the White Aryan Resistance Organization. Here's an outfit that's been ordered to pay $12.5 million by a jury in Oregon. You are accused of inciting young people, skinheads, in the baseball bat beating death of an Ethiopian student in Portland, Oregon. $12.5 million. A jury ordered you, your son, and others to pay. Learn a few things. You're talking to young people. Skinheads. Learn a few things about this, and don't worship, like the conservatives, a piece of paper. A piece of paper won't save you, but this can. and at this moment you raise an automatic pistol into the air. And it can convince a lot of your enemies to do right, too. Let them conform to our law. Hey, Mr. Lyons, sir, is that protected?
That is protected speech, absolutely. Mr. Metzger is in the front lines for the First Amendment, and we only have as much rights in this country as Tom Metzger has. And if he has no rights to speak and say whatever he wants, then nobody here has any rights to speak. We're only as protected as he is.
You know, the people who beat this guy with a ball bat are all in jail now. They beat him so hard they split his skull open. Mr. Metzger had conversations with one of the young men, two of the young men involved in this beating. One of the conversations transpired before this beating. Here's the rap, Mr. Lyons, that the Aryan Nation, among other things, encourages young people to go out and beat the hell out of somebody in order to gain credibility. That's the charge.
I don't know that that's true, but even if it is, let's assume arguendo that it is. Unless they're actually right there in the room saying, pick up a gun and let's go take over the government, that is protected speech, and it has to be. It
right.
has to be protected.
Ralph Wiley, you're a writer and author. You're an educated professional person. You believe the white rights movement is a contradiction in terms. Make your case.
Well, I'm born in the good old USA and proud of it. And I suggest to you Team America is the only way to be productive. The waste of productivity time is caused by people like this. I mean, they could be out doing something creative. And I would say to them, if the country was all white, let's say, no, you don't have to clap. I know, you mean we're all Americans here. If the country was all white, what would they do? What would they create? What would they make? What would be their skill? Why do they blame me because they don't have talent? I don't understand.
They think, among other things, well, should we try a few?
Let's try.
Every white guy in America claims to have a brother-in-law that didn't get the job because a black guy got it.
Oldest truth. Well, every black woman in America claims because she doesn't have a husband is my fault too. I mean, you know, the black man seems to get the blame for all these things, Phil. It doesn't make sense to me. Affirmative action works when you find the right black person. A lot of companies will take the first black person who comes along, stick them in a job, and be kind of glad when they fail. When you find the right black person for the job and do your proper screening, then America is lifted. I have a consulting company. We put together a representation package for a very famous entertainer named Rocket Ismail. We said, look, his lawyer is going to be a white Anglo-Saxon Protestant. We found the best guy. His agents are African-American. The best guys. His marketeers are Jewish Americans. The best guys. He just signed the most fabulous football contract
yes,
in the
is.
History of the game.
Yes, and
these
what,
people work together and they were giving each other high fives afterwards. So
yes.
What are these guys talking about?
And the point is what? Now, I want to make sure I understand your point.
When people work together, productivity goes up. The reason
yeah.
Japan is so good productivity-wise, they're not very creative there. They take somebody else's creative idea and put it in the implementation. It's a pure meritocracy in Japan because it's monoethnic. If you're better, you're better. If I'm better, then it's a problem. It's
yeah.
somebody else's fault.
Yeah, they're saying, though, that too many people of color aren't better and get the job because of
a
good government that's...
I'm better.
Huh?
I was a senior writer at Sports Illustrated for 9 years. You
yeah.
don't get there without being better.
So you would say, well, how do you feel about that?
I don't have to say anything to them. I'm too busy creating my own stuff. I'm writing books.
All right.
Plays.
Are you there, caller? I'm glad you waited. Hi.
Well, Mr. Donahue.
Sir.
I'm an educated black man myself. I am sickened by this. I'm by panelists like those who want white supremacy, although they say they don't want it. I'm hurt. I'm angered.
Yeah.
All I want is equality. I grew up in an interracial family. I had to deal with people asking me questions about, is that your mother? My mother's white, and my father's black. Is that your mother? I had to deal with a lot growing up. I strive to become the best I can be, and yet I'm still judged by the color of my skin.
Yes,
that's... I live in a white neighborhood, and yet I go to some houses to call on some people for committee meetings, for neighborhood committee meetings. They won't open the door for me, Phil.
I understand you. We live in a racist society. There isn't anybody... Is anybody going to really say that we don't? So we've for countless numbers of other people who worked twice as hard only to have the eyebrow raised. Mr. Yeah, Wiley, what do you think as you listen in on the brother here?
Well, I think he lets people like that work on his mind. And why? Why should you? It holds down productivity when you're saying it's your fault, it's your fault, it's your fault. You have to go on and produce. And if you produce, that is the final result.
Well,
I don't think either one of these guys have 200 bylines in Sports Illustrated. I do. I don't think they have two books in print, one, Why Black People Tend to Shout
Mr.
Like
Metzger,
I do.
You wanted to say that's racist? How? Why?
Well, sure, that's in the black community, that brother stuff is racist, of course. That's fine. I'm all for it. Blacks should do that.
So if white men want the best jobs, then they should be the best at it. Because for years and years and years, men, white men, have gotten the best jobs and have made the most money and had the most opportunities because they were white and they had a penis. For no other reason. And as a woman, I can say that. Because as a woman, I'm judged because I'm a woman.
Well,
and
you seem to be doing pretty well because the majority of the audience is women. Where are all the men? They're out breaking their ass on a construction job. Bring your husbands down here. Come on.
Believe that people are innately racist. You are not born with that. You are underestimating your power of speech, sir, when you come across and you say that something I said cannot influence people to incite rebellion and to beat other people.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I think it can, too, especially if the kid is 19
years old.
Well, you're
not born not to stick your hand in a rattlesnake's mouth either, but your parents have to teach you not to.
Are you there, caller? Hi.
Hi. I'm a white female, and it does, I must admit, bother me. When I first turned on the show, and the first gentleman, the funeral director, they kind of called him a racist, which I just have a problem with that because I feel that it seems like you can get black activists like Reverend Al Sharpton, and now suddenly he's called a black activist. He's not a racist, but then when we try to talk about this race as a white person, we're called racist. I don't think that's fair.
Yeah. Hang on a minute.
I think Mr. Metzger is pitiful anyway, but the saddest part about it is that you chew down the food chain till you get to the lowest person on it who will follow your command, and then you use that as your cover. You come out and you say, well, it's not my responsibility if he beats somebody to death. That's the saddest part about you.
Yeah, I work with all kinds of people. You wouldn't believe some of the people I work with. I don't just work with
young. Tom Metzger, no matter what he says, or any politician, no matter what they say, are entitled to speak. And are entitled to the full constitutional rights that every citizen in this country has. Tom Metzger is being stopped from speaking, good or bad, and I'm his lawyer on appeal. I don't agree with anything he says, honestly. I'm a libertarian myself, but I do believe that he has a right to speak, and he's being stopped from speaking. He has a $12.5 million judgment, which will bankrupt him, which will forbid him from publishing anything anymore. You know, wait a second. But who is allowed to speak? Does this audience get to decide who speaks? No. It shouldn't. Every citizen, the Constitution says, has a right under the First Amendment to speak. Tom has a right to speak. The way you beat Tom and people that you have ideas that disagree with is to speak against them and to speak with them, but not to hit them over the head and not to fine them $12.5 million so they can't afford to publish. You just don't do it.
And charge him criminally if he's made done criminal.
He's never been charged criminally. That's another thing. He has never been charged with any crime, not for the death of this poor guy, not for inciting someone, not for conspiracy, not for anything. Okay, all he's been charged with is in a civil lawsuit by a big organization that's out to get him. And they have a right to speak, but they don't have a right to silence him.
Well, Phil, there's a big difference between the criminal law and civil law. In criminal law, the burden of proof is beyond any reasonable doubt to a unanimous jury that is the person who committed the crime.
Oh, no,
that may not be possible in a criminal case.
There's kind of beyond reasonable doubt and preponderance of evidence instructions.
All I'm saying is it may not be possible in a criminal case.
Of course it is.
But we have laws where people affect other people's rights. The civil laws were used in Oregon.
The
conspiracy
laws require you to prove somebody is related to this incident. Somebody provoked it. Exactly what they allegedly proved in the civil case is what they would have had to prove in a criminal case, and they didn't even arrest them.
Mr. Donahue,
yeah.
You see how this hate is like spinning wheels? Nothing's being created here. Nothing's being produced here.
Well, I do ask you, Mr.
Roderick.
I do ask you, males especially, whatever you want to...
They didn't even arrest him.
Well,
Mr. Donahue,
yeah.
You see how this hate is like spinning wheels? Nothing's being created here. Nothing's being produced here.
Well, I do ask you, Mr.
Wiley.
I do ask you, Mr. Wiley, to be, or at least consider, the importance of being patient for a discussion of the behavior of adults as they speak and weave a certain message, often with charisma, power, and theatricality, before a group of people, call them skinheads or males especially, whatever you want to call them. And then shortly, and part of the identity of these young males, part of proving that you're worthy of being somebody, is the old-fashioned way would be the notch in the belt or the gun, is to go out and hurt somebody who's a minority, who's a black person, or a Jew. Go out and hurt them. What speech does the law protect? Not a bad question.
That's bringing down the productivity of the country. If you're talking about killing, whether we should be allowed to say we can kill or not kill, if people are being beat up.
People who aren't productive.
No, I'm not saying eliminate anybody. Eliminate is your word. You guys want to eliminate. I want to raise. I want to lift.
Back in the 50s, and you got them, and you're still fighting for them. Why do you try to take the club and beat the other side with it?
I'm not trying to beat anybody. I can outright either one of
you. These people's rights are being violated grossly. We get calls about that all the time.
I can outright it with my eyes closed.
Are you there?
Circles around it with my eyes closed. Tell them to tell me something about that.
Are you there, caller?
Can you outright me? No. You guys are lawyers, and you can't outright me.
Yeah.
That's not the issue.
Such great thinkers, all of you are. Such great thinkers with your education. And yet here you are spreading ignorance to our children. Why don't you take your joint power to make America a better place for all of us?
Yes.
Here you are.
Let me just... Are you there? I'm glad you waited. All right, go ahead.
Yes, I would like to ask the panel, what is a black racist? Is it a person that was born black and just decided to hate white people? Or is it someone that came into this world and was mistreated by white people and now...
Yeah.
He decides that they're not going to be trusted, people to be trusted.
I assume you believe it's B, the second.
Well, I don't know of a person being a black racist, because black people didn't create racism.
I'd like to know his definition of a white racist.
Black people just like everybody else in this society. We watch the same commercials. We watch the same.
So self-loathing can happen if you.
Well, you can see it
if you're exposed.
Hypocrisy. You go home. You hear the jokes and all that. It all goes on. You know how it goes. It's hypocrisy.
Are you there, caller? I'm glad you waited.
Yes, I am.
Go ahead, please.
I am a white female from Boston, Massachusetts.
Yeah.
And my daughter was discriminated against as a white person through a school system that is run by black people. She was told she did not racially balance the system. She could not come to her community school because she was white.
So what do you want?
I had to fight. I had to threaten with lawyers.
Yeah.
I had to take time off from work. I had to stand up in my work. I had many black women look at me and say, fight that. That is wrong.
Hey, may I just ask you a question? Just a question. And I do not presume to... No, your daughter may very well have been victimized by an injustice. I do not challenge your assertion. I do have the following question for you, a resident of Boston.
Yes.
Why is Roxbury mostly black?
But see, you're assuming.
Now let me just ask.
Why
is that?
Well, I'll tell you, it wasn't enough proud people who wanted to stay with their community to keep it that way. They ran. They were afraid of black people. Why, I have no idea.
Stereotypes.
I have very close black friends.
I just talked to Bruce McCabe of the Boston Globe today, and he said, I just went to Roxbury, and I had all these images in my mind. I went to see some low-income housing, and it was perfectly integrated. He said, what am I thinking? I'm believing these images that are put before me.
So Roxbury, you're saying, is an integrated community.
Well, you should go there. Don't believe the hype. This country is a great country, but when you start listening to these tabloids and people like this, you start to get afraid.
So what if people want to separate? Let them separate.
You want to separate.
People do it now normally.
America.
They do it naturally.
I got a break
you
here.
You
What's the matter?
Don't give me that stuff.
What?
We should separate, but our Constitution says all men were created equal, so if you don't believe that, you better move someplace else where you can separate.
If you believe that's in the Constitution.
I'll give you a chance. I got a break. We'll be back in just a moment.
I agree that you should say whatever you feel you can say, because if you limit free thought and free speech, then you're limiting ideas. But where's your conscience? If I told kindergartners to jump off a hill, I think I'm responsible if someone jumps. How could you just say, use a gun and kill people. I mean, you have to be responsible.
He did not say that.
I did not do that.
Well, wasn't he just on TV saying that?
He didn't say that. We do have him. We do have the statement, which was part of the trial. He's saying, stand up for your heritage. Be proud of who you are.
Stand up for people, no matter what color they are. Stand up for yourself and your rights. If you're being harmed personally, stand up for yourself.
I do stand up for people. The block I live in is all Mexican to me, and I've had to help them out a lot of times.
But that doesn't mean I want to bury their dying. Just stay out, you know, do your thing.
Number one thing you have to remember in this trial...
What benefit do you
have? Let him make his point. What?
One thing you have to remember in this trial, the main witness, the only witness of any, was bribed. We will prove that he was bribed. He was paid off. And when they got the judgment, then they came to me and said, if you will sign a paper, not to speak, not to publish a newspaper, to quit producing your television show, then we won't go after your house. In other words, the whole case was to shut me up. Had nothing to do with my real involvement in killing anybody or telling anybody to kill anybody.
In the opening argument, the lawyers who are excellent for the plaintiff said to the jury, I want you to build a wall of $12.5 million around Oregon so Tom Metzger can never get in anymore.
Right.
You know, just one other thing here. I wish to thank the Southern Poverty Law Center, which was the successful prosecutor of this case. Your bodyguard, Carl Strait?
Yes.
Here's what an audio tape in which he said he taught skinheads to break bones and crush skulls. Your message was violent, Mr. Metzger. The message that you and your son, John, share with skinheads is violent. It goes beyond the euphemism of kicking ass. It goes to breaking bones. It goes to photographs of you with an AK-47 in an Arizona desert where you are in the company of other white supremacists learning how to shoot automatic
weapons. Well, you know, I was in the company of the Republican Party. I mean, who knows
or
that?
Shooting, or shooting or hunting rabbits in Arizona.
That
how do
got
we
to
know
do
that?
Anything. Okay. Carl Strait was on your competitor's TV show, and the competitor... between sessions says, hey, we got to make this real good. Give him something real good. Yeah. So Carl gave him something real good. You know, it's entertainment.
But y'all need to... This is not the bad guy in this very sordid drama. The federal government is the greatest transgressor of civil rights in this country today. And your apathy, all of your apathy, this whole country that doesn't give a damn about what the First Amendment says... when it's put into practice. That's the problem.
See, Phil, everybody in this audience will tell Tom Metzger what he should and shouldn't say, and that's just not right. It's not right to tell him what he should and should not say.
You can
advocate the overthrow of the government. You can advocate violence. There's a very narrow...
You can't try fire in a crowded theater.
Well, that's true, but he didn't fire.
And you can't rally young people who shave their heads... to go out and commit violence against black people.
You can rally young people to hate, you can rally young people to commit violence in some future time, and you can advocate the overthrow of the government. Right. You cannot do it and ask them to do it immediately.
Okay. Let me just understand.
99% of the skinheads don't commit crimes. 99%. That's better than the Democrats
who go to college.
Right. Mr. Null.
Well, yes, they do.
Mr. Null, sir.
And they do write books and they paint.
Tom, just give me a chance, sir. You're an interesting person, Mr. Null.
Thank you.
You're interesting because I said you were, and as you know, I'm a very powerful and insightful man.
I'm interesting otherwise.
Let me tell you why I think you're interesting. Yeah. If I'm understanding you, you don't have any doubt in your mind that Mr. Metzger is a racist.
No doubt at all. I'm Jewish, by the way. He hates me too, I'm sure.
Right.
Or generally.
You're a proud Jew who would want to see the Nazis march in Skokie, I'm sure.
I wouldn't want him to see that, but it wouldn't stop
me. Okay, that's what I meant. Sure. Pardon me. And you're representing Mr. Metzger on appeal because you think our country is preserved for all people and the future of our children is enhanced by an overturning of this $12.5 million judgment. Is that so?
Yes, yes.
Because it protects Mr. Metzger's right to speak even though...
Because it protects all of us. It protects me, too. It protects our right to speak to protect Mr. Metzger. The Constitution doesn't distinguish between Mr. Metzger and the rest of us. It doesn't distinguish between what's right and what's wrong. It distinguishes only between the ability to speak and people who aren't.
So if you're going to be a liberal, let's be consistent. Liberals have to let everybody speak. Mr. Metzger,
absolutely.
David Duke of Louisiana.
Absolutely. Adolf Hitler,
J.F.
who I'm not
Stein.
Fond of. Absolutely, everybody.
Well, Phil, the whole thing is there's one group of people in this country that heard this evidence. And whatever these people say here today, they are just words. A group of people in Portland heard the evidence, and they heard the argument about free speech, and they said it was phony, that what they did was they sent their emissaries into Oregon recruiting, and they stepped over the line.
I've
done a lot of trials. It was the most farcical trial I've ever seen in my life. It was, and I've seen the videotape of it. I wasn't there, but I know what's in there. The lawyers for the SPLC just they testified, essentially. They said what they wanted to do and say, and they had the witnesses say yes or no, isn't that right? Isn't it true, Mr. Mazzella, Morris D. said, that Tom Esker sent you to Portland? Yes. Isn't it true that he sent you to Portland to kill people? Yes. They didn't let anyone speak. They were testifying.
The most crushing piece of evidence, according to the Southern Poverty Law Center, the most crushing piece of evidence was a training flyer prepared by the Metzgers. You, Mr. Metzger. And used by Mazzella, one of the accused, in Portland, describing a tactic called bashing, a sport in which hunting parties of white youth seek out non-white individuals and break their bones.
The skinheads put that together. But we didn't.
Did they produce anything?
It has nothing to do with my.
Tom Metzger told his skinhead followers shortly after the murder that the Portland skinheads did a civic duty in killing.
Yes, the information that came to us was that there was crack dealers involved and everything, and it was a fight and all this.
The future belongs to
people. I said they may have.
Sir, you get to speak.
This is the question. Does the future belong to people who hate, or does the future belong to people with skill?
It belongs to everybody. You ought to know that. It belongs to everybody.
To the people that hate and the people with skill.
Yeah, absolutely.
I prefer to have skill than hate.
This woman's entitled.
Well, I see plenty of hate in the black community.
What is the benefit
against black people? I don't understand. What do you get from going against black people?
It makes sure that a big state doesn't stand up and tell your rabbi what to say, what your preacher what to say, what your political leader what to say.
So I'm engaged with black men. What does that mean? What does that mean?
You should make sure that the courts protect his free speech. So if it changes hands,
I
want to
know if that guy over there embalms black people. Do you?
Absolutely, I have.
Yes.
You do. You're prejudiced, but you still touch them.
No, I'm not prejudiced. What is your definition of prejudiced?
You're racist.
Before you came on this show, did you have any idea what we might talk about? Or when you found out that who? Okay, you prejudged us.
I didn't come here because of the topic.
Well, you prejudged us before we came on.
And we'll be back in just a moment.
Mr. Metzger's coming son involved in that fiasco at the Gerardo when he got his nose broken? He also inspired violence at the same time.
So my son's sitting there, and Roy Ennis comes over, puts his hands around his throat, tries to choke him to death, and he's wrong.
Free speech is one thing, but when somebody like you incites another person to kill youth, that's sick. That's plain and simple sick.
You incite
young people to kill other young people. That's sick. The result was still the same. The young guy died. He's dead. And that was your result. That was your main.
That's what you want to believe.
Right, that's what you wanted to happen.
People like you were sick. I didn't even know. Well, you don't know the facts, and you don't care about the facts. Would you rather have me quit producing TV, quit publishing newspaper, quit giving speeches? Then you get violence.
Would you rather have Tom Metzger?
No free speech.
Or quiet it so you can't hear him? Sneaking in the middle of the night?
Without free speech, I guarantee you violence.
Over here, please.
Which way do you want it?
Over here, please.
I just want to say I have two young children, and if they see a person of color, I don't think they don't really even notice. To them, it's not black or white. It's just a person. And that's why I believe that racism is taught, especially by someone like Mr. Metzger.
Well, you should be more concerned about teaching your children that there are anti-free speech laws in most of Western Europe and that wonderful democracy of the North Canada where they put people in jail for having contrary views. Now, that should be concerned to everybody, and it's coming across the border into the United States. And it's here. 1984 is here today. I truly believe that the way the public is today, you're wanting a police state. You're really asking for it, and you're going to get it.
Over here, please.
You know, for 9 months, this country was united. We had a coalition of countries.
The Persian Gulf War,
We didn't see We saw soldiers. We saw men. We saw women, black, white, fighting together for a cause, for freedom. That's what this is about.
Well, what is it about? What? You stand by quietly while your president maneuvered you into fighting a war in the Middle East. And you don't know the facts, and you don't care, and neither did the press. And that's the problem. That's the problem. You don't care. Fighting a war for a couple of degenerate guys over there in Kuwait. How stupid.
Resistance, hate, indoctrinated to younger generation, nationally, internationally, and we always pay a big price for it.
For racism and
for racism,
we quite agree. We agree. We have ample evidence. We have ample evidence. I beg you to at least see the agony here, as America struggles to protect what has already been suggested to be our most important right, speech. We have to deal with the consequences and the environment that's created by the kind of speech that Mr. Metzger and his friends are capable of giving. Should that be prescribed? And if you're not going to allow that, who's going to watch them to make sure they don't say it? And who's going to arrest them? And, you know, it gets to be a little bit like Nazi Germany.
Men should always say what they think about and be free.
That's what he said. That's what he said. Absolutely. That's his point.
I am a disabled veteran, and I know what went on through the Second World War in Europe.
I think a majority of this audience would vote against the Bill of Rights if they were approached on the streets.
Oh.
I really do. Well, look at the rap bands and all the music guys that are being sued and thrown into jail on both sides, right, left, black.
I believe in free speech, but I think everybody should be responsible for what they say, because free speech, or any speech, can be just as damaging as carrying a gun.
What does that mean, be responsible?
Well, if you, not saying, because I don't know your case, not saying that I'm not, you know, being judgmental to you, but anybody, if they are responsible because...
If somebody goes out and commits a violent act immediately following a speech which encourages violence, you think the speaker should be held accountable?
Yes, just as if he was the one to pull the trigger or held the knife or anything else.
Well, that's been held by the Supreme Court with Black's NAACP speeches that took place in the South, that there was violence, the Charles Evers case, and that was overthrown.
Charles Evers is dead.
And we'll be back in just a moment.
I think you should be...
Mr. Shepard, I think you wanted to say, among other things, that... there are professional people in the white rights movement, that not everybody who's a white supremacist is a tobacco-chewing redneck. Is that your point?
First of all, if I don't consider myself a white supremacist, I consider myself a white civil rights activist.
All right, white rights movement. Very good. And this is your point, is it not? That, we've got a stereotypical notion?
Oh, absolutely. I think it's perpetrated by the media, and, of course, the liberals behind the media who want to present the racialist as, ignorant people.
Uh-huh. And you're not.
Absolutely.
I think it serves our purpose if you think that as we move into the upper echelon.
Well, the real problem is you've got these monitoring groups that go around presenting this image, and or watchdog groups, who also go around to give police seminars saying, watch out for these white supremacist guys because they gut shoot cops. This kind of absolute nonsense that is created a lot of hysteria that the media is profiting from, and the government. Y'all are the suckers, believe it or not. You're the suckers in this deal.
But I do think, Mr. Lyons, you really do quite a tap dance when you try to get out from under the considerable evidence that skinheads and other people, not all, but certainly the evidence is clear, a number of them are interested in violence, promoting it against
created
people of color.
Created by the system.
Created by what?
The system is pushing them into that.
So the system is at fault.
Part of your society. They created it. It came out of... They're tired of the drugs. They're tired of the hypocrisy. And they come out of here. They need a little adult leadership. And what would you rather do? You'd want to put them in jail. Put them in jail for 10 years for doing something that a black kid on the east side will get 2 months.
There's absolutely no comparison to the crime of the white separatist movement and the skinheads to the crime in society and the non-white crime. Absolutely no comparison.
Are you there, caller? I'm glad you waited.
Yes, I am.
Go ahead, please.
Yes, hi. I'm Mrs. Susan Mondello. My son is Keith Mondello from the Bensonhurst trial, and I am pleading to everybody out there
Let me just interrupt you for a moment, Mrs. Mondello. So your son is now in jail.
Yes, he is.
Serving what?
He is now serving almost a year. He was sentenced to 5 1/3 to 16 years. He was convicted by the media.
Yeah. He was not accused of pulling the trigger.
Absolutely not.
He was accused of being a part of the crowd that assaulted the victim.
Nobody was assaulted. One person took the life of Yusuf Hawkinson, and that one person is the alleged trigger man.
And those who accompanied the gunman, in your view, I assume, should not be found guilty.
Nobody accompanied the gunman. There was no knowledge of any gunman being there. They were there for a solely entirely different reason, because they were threatened.
Yes.
My son, let me just add one important thing. I need help. Help is what I've needed for the past 2 years, because Elizabeth Holtzman has portrayed this case, making it the biggest racial case ever, not just in this city, but throughout the world. And she knowingly and consciously knew that there was a black boy that brought two boxes of baseball bats, along with Charles Stressler, who was acquitted on all counts. And she knew there was a black boy there from the beginning.
And so that would make the case for defense rather than murder. I think I see your point, Mrs. Mondello. I cannot retry Bensonhurst at this moment. May I ask you, what moved you to call this program? Is it your view that your son was victimized because he's white?
Well, what hurts is the most is we've been portrayed as a racial prejudice, racist family, and we are not, and we never have been. And this whole case has been portrayed on that, because it happened to be a black boy that was killed. But how could this have ever been a racial case if there was a black boy there at the scene with the other boys? There were also Puerto Rican boys there that were closer to Yusuf Hawkins than my own son, that were never indicted and picked up by Elizabeth Holtzman because they were Puerto Rican.
Yes.
Yusuf Hawkins is the one who's dead.
Yes.
And the hypocrisy of that is that the Central Park jogger case is said not to have a racial angle, which is hogwash.
Yes, sir.
Two things. I don't know why Mr. Metzger is on a panel of professionals. He's a redneck in a professional suit.
So we shouldn't allow rednecks out?
No, I'm just saying it's supposed to be a panel of professionals, and all he is a redneck.
Well,
first of all,
redneck's a badge of honor to a working man. Yeah, it's down south or any place.
Yeah, I wouldn't suggest that redneck is necessarily,
that's an ignorant statement.
Would you defend the same person if he were to say that exactly what he was saying against black people, if he said it against Jews, because you're Jewish yourself?
Absolutely.
You would suggest it.
He says this stuff.
He
has pictures of people shooting Jews through the brain. I mean, that's the point. The point is not that I don't condone what he does. Nobody condones what he does.
Wow.
Must be a big thing.
I want to get away from Mr. Metzger and ask Mr. Shepherd a question. You say you're not a racist, you're saying you're not a bigot, but what's your position then?
That fee must be able to choke a horse, man.
I believe that everybody should be judged strictly on their qualifications and the
way they perform merit-wise. I don't agree with discrimination against anyone. I'd like to ask this gentleman, does he agree or believe in discrimination?
I just don't want anybody to pass his own inadequacy off on me. If you don't get something, don't blame me.
Well, if you blame
in the mirror.
Look in the mirror. Look in the mirror.
Look in the mirror.
Look in the mirror. Look in the mirror.
Look in the mirror. Look in the mirror. Look in the mirror.
I don't know you. Here is an interesting view from a black man's world. This is Ralph Wiley's book, and it is titled Why Black People Tend to Shout.
And now you know why.
I am pleased to recommend it to your attention, and we'll be back in just a moment.
Phil, I just want to say I think it's extremely sad that we're still having this discussion. I really do.
Everybody agrees.
His rights. Fight for his rights, and we won't have to.
Yes. Yes, ma'am.
His rights are directly linked to yours, folks.
I'd like to commend the man on the end and say that people like them in the middle, they make me sick.
What about Phil? What about a black man?
You know, I don't believe that we live in a race.
I know Portland, Oregon, who is blind, ran a radio station, put me on the air, was decent enough to let me say what I wanted to say. They come in, broke up the station, broke up his braille machine a whole bit. And no FBI is helping him.
You know something? I don't believe we live in a racist society. There's only a certain few that make it seem that way, and Mr. Metzger is one of them. Yes, you are.
Thank you for coming.
way.
I'd like to make a point about Ms. Mandela who called in. We've got the two most publicized racial killings that's went on in this country in the last 2 years have been right here in New York City. In College Park, Georgia, we had a young man that was killed coming home from Sunday school on a Wednesday evening, specifically because he was white, by a group of boys from called this a bad black
boy. And
then
they got no press at all. You probably
no, it was not.
Are you there, caller? I'm glad you waited. Caller?
Yes.
Go ahead, please. I don't have a lot of time.
Yes, hello, Phil.
Yeah.
Yes, I believe no matter what, there's always going to be racism. It's going to be with us till the end of time. But
yes.
When you start talking about other groups wanting to take over the world, like the neo-Nazi party,
right.
Skinheads, that's ridiculous. Because nobody's going to sit back. And,
you mean they won't get away with it?
No, they won't.
You're not worried about that?
I'm not worried about it. It's always going to be racism, but, I mean, nobody's going to sit back and let this one group of people take over the earth.
We'll be back in just a moment.
They're Nazis, but they don't have the uniform.
From the left, if he's saying what he's saying because he wants to be on another talk show, because that's the only rationale that I can...
If you start calling people names...
Well,
I
think we're wasting an awful lot of time.
Call attention to yourself. It takes no talent to use the word jerk, all right? We're going to get nowhere.
I think this guy's getting way too many minutes on national television because you don't deserve to be on national television.
I've got a television show...
provided and promotional fees paid by the
The amazing Coolview room air conditioner from Quasar takes up...